Hello, I'm Bob Ross, and I'd like to welcome you. First of all, let me take just a moment to thank you for allowing me back into your homes. If this is your first time with us, let me extend a personal invitation for you to drag out your oil paints and paint along with us each week. Let's go over to the canvas here and let's get started.
I believe, every day's a good day when you paint. I believe, it'll bring a lot of good thoughts to your heart. I believe, every day's a good day when you paint. I believe, it'll bring a lot of good thoughts to your heart. Let's build a happy little cloud. Let's build some happy little trees. There are no limits here. You start out by believing here. You can almost paint with anything. All you have to do is practice. There are no limits here. You start out by believing here. This is your world. You're the creator. Find freedom on this canvas. Believe that you can do it. Because you can do it. You can do it. Give it a little touch, give it a little push. Make love to the canvas. Give it a little touch, give it a little push. Push, caress it. Very gentle. Grab it, lift it, fluff it. You can go on and on and on. Back and forth, back and forth and forth. Layer after layer after layer. Let's build a happy little cloud. Let's build some happy little trees. There are no limits here. Believing here is it your world. You're the creator. Find freedom on this canvas.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
You're listening to Books, Beer, Bullshit, the little podcast that would. I'm your host, your ghost host, Mr. Frank.
And I'm your private dick with the codpiece, Jeff.
All right, Jeff. This is the little podcast that wouldn't because we just can't get this shit together.
No, we are piss poor and pathetic.
So this is take three for us.
Take three. Take 53.
Yeah, we can't get our acts together on episode 8. This episode is as haunted as the book we fucking reviewed.
Oh, man. This has been nothing but trouble.
All right. So we're going to hope this is it.
You know what I feel like?
What?
I feel like Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
With a prosthetic nose.
You know what I feel like? I feel like Bill Murray in fucking Groundhog Day. I keep reliving the same podcast over and over again. Don't drive angry. Don't podcast angry.
All right. Well, at least we have our lines down.
What we got for you this episode is going to be a hodgepodge. Our first episode, we had just audio dropping out left and right. So I had to like stitch together something. We salvaged a half hour or so worth of material out of that. Then we went back in to record a second time. And that was just a complete disaster.
Epic.
Settings were set wrong. So now we've studied the material. We've learned where we've failed. And it's Sunday late night somewhere in Ohio, right?
It's late night somewhere.
So here it is. Take three. What you're going to get is you're going to get a full-on book review from us. Then we've salvaged our original beer review.
Awesome. Because you can't.
No.
You can't take two on the beer review.
No, you can't. So luckily we've been able to salvage that. We're going to give you a little. We'll set up our recordings and then we'll play for you the original stuff. And the same with the bullshit. We were able to stitch together pieces of our original bullshit that we can pretty much roll out with.
Yeah.
We'll just set up all our little audio clips for you.
So thank you, constant listener.
Thank you, constant listener, for
bearing up through our nonsense.
Shit. All right. So without further ado, let's jump into the book review.
This book is Night of the Living Deed by E.J. Copperman.
Yeah, it is.
Who is also Jeff Cohen. And this book takes place on the Jersey Shore. Imagine, if you will, theater of the mind, a Victorian house, a divorced woman with a child, a divorce settlement. What do? I think I'll buy a Victorian house and turn it into a guest house. But things go downhill from there.
Do they go downhill?
No, they go sideways. They go across the hill.
Awry.
Things go awry when it turns out this Victorian, this beautiful elderly Victorian manor is haunted. Dun, dun, dun. And Not only that, we have Private Dick, the previous owners, the mayor, the hairdresser, the council,
the
real estate agent,
somebody's mother,
and the father, and the sister-in-law,
friend,
brother-in-law,
hot husband,
all suspects.
Dun, 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 dun. This is absolutely what was just set up for you. It is a mystery. It is a ghost story.
It's a twofer.
It's a twofer. It's a hodgepodge. It's a mashup.
God, I feel like I've been talking about this book for weeks now.
That's because we have. Yeah, so we decided to jump into E.J. Copperman's Night of the Living Deed because it is indeed a Jersey Shore story. That's what drew us to it because we're Jersey guys, if we haven't made that abundantly clear by now. And it was a little different for us because mystery is not our normal thing. You've read a few mysteries here and there.
Yeah.
And I've read a couple of here and there, but it's not our usual
forte.
No, it's not at all.
It's not our
And ghost stories, case. I mean, we delve into horror, but rarely the ghostly version of horror.
Yeah, I mean, mostly everything has fangs.
Sure. What we did was we jumped out of our comfort zone by jumping into our comfort zone.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so we got a little worried at first when we ran into this one because we're like, all right, we got to do this. This is Jersey Arthur writing about the Jersey Shore, half hour from where we live, and
let's give it a rip.
And then we kind of read the synopsis after we agreed to do this, and it sounded a little chicklet. Yeah, it sounded like chicklet. So.
It looked like John Elway's teeth, chicklets.
And I guess it really didn't take long for me to be convinced that it's not chicklet.
No. This is a straight down the middle of the road story. It's not written.
It's not written towards the female reader per se.
No, but I mean, women would enjoy this book.
Oh, absolutely.
Men can enjoy this book. Not manly men. Not manly men like us.
It's
a little light for us manly men.
But it is gender neutral.
It is gender neutral. It's
now,
nice.
We're
it's a nice aside.
Not well versed in mystery, but my assertion of it is it was a straightforward mystery.
Yeah. I mean, it's about as straightforward of a mystery. It's like almost like playing a game of Clue. It's a mystery. You solve it. I mean, I know you have a problem with trying to figure it out before the end and don't really enjoy the ride of mystery books.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a lot of my turn-off to the genre is, as I'm reading, I'm too worried about the whodunit.
Right.
And
you're trying to beat the author at his own game.
Every little clue, I'm like, oh, could be this one. I get too wrapped up into picking out the clues and figuring out before it ends. I got it now. And it kind of ruins the just reading experience for me. Whereas you're able to just read it, not worry about it. I'll find out when the end comes.
Yeah, and who am I proving that I'm smarter than? The author who wrote it? I mean, it ain't going to change. It's print.
On the same token, isn't that half the fun of reading a mystery? Isn't that half the allure of trying to figure it out as you go? Like,
well, I guess you could just say that's why I don't read mysteries as a main genre.
Right, yeah.
But I can enjoy a well-written story.
Right.
No matter genre it is.
You would have to be pointed in that direction.
Yeah, it would have to be something like this or something I picked up for free.
So you'd never really seek it out.
No. So anyway, back to the book.
Bring it back and around again. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
This is a very good story. We can't pick into it because of the nature of mysteries. Can't sit there and review the book. It's just too spoilery.
Yeah, we don't want to spoil the book. We do want to give you a feeling of the book, of what the book is about. So I guess we could safely say, without being spoilerish, the main character, Allison, buys a Victorian house to turn into a guest house.
Right.
And it's haunted by these two ghosts who want her to find out who killed them.
Right.
And the one ghost was the previous owner before her, and the other ghost is a private detective that the previous owner hired. They were both murdered at the same time, and they don't know why people were trying to drive the owners out of this house.
Right. That's why she hired a PI to begin with, because she was getting threats.
Threats. And so you have to, as a mystery, you have to figure out why they want them out of the house and who is doing the murders. Who is committing a crime.
And the ghosts put Allison to the task. And in her pursuit of trying to find that, she also finds herself threatened by could be the same people that kill the ghosts or other forces.
Most likely would be the same.
But what she also comes to find out is that this all circles around a historical deed to the house that's worth a considerable amount of money. Hence, Night of the Living Deed. Yes. So that's the setup, and you get all the players involved. Like you said, there's the mayor, the council, real estate developers who are buying up the land.
Real estate agent, the teacher at school.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know who to trust.
And that I like. There was sort of the quote-unquote bad characters who were, like, you know, immediate suspects, but there are also the quote-unquote good guys, like the history teacher or friends, who, as you read, could have their own motives to, you know, a little too nice.
I don't know if we discussed this previously, but
yeah,
I pretty much had the correct feeling of who it was.
Yeah, without giving it away, the end is not
surprising.
A shocker whatsoever. There's still, you know, by I say that, is there's no one obvious person, but one of the obvious people is the one.
Right, one of the people in the books is the
one.
And
I guess in a way, I was sort of expecting a weird Sixth Sense kind of twisty, screwed up, this, like, oh my God, you know.
No, but it was...
Pull off the mask and I would have got away for if it weren't for you meddling kids, kind of an ending. Like, holy, I didn't see that coming. It was Mr. Grimple. So yeah, it was a very straightforward mystery. But
with
then you have the...
supernatural.
Yeah, the aspect of the ghosts. Now, it's billed as a ghost story / mystery, but I found it less a ghost story than it was a mystery. It was pretty much all mystery that happened to have ghosts involved.
Right.
I guess that's because the ghosts weren't like the spooky, creepy, haunty kind of ghosts.
No, they were like the Gina Davis and the other douche.
Baldwin
in Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
They were like trapped spirits, not angry.
Right.
Kind of
stuck
off
here, and we're not really sure why. And it was definitely that feel, that Beetlejuice ghost kind of feel to it.
Right. Those characters are written along those lines.
Yeah. And they had that feel. They're very harmless. They're just stuck. They're not quite sure why, how things work. You know, one of them has the ability to manipulate objects in the real world. And
like
the other
one, Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, it was a little bit of that, too. Like, they had to go and find a guy in a subway train. And, like, the one guy was learning how to, you know, manipulate objects. The other one could do it handily. It had that, even the Patrick Swayze ghost sort of feel to it.
Yeah,
they weren't creepy, scary, hair on the back of your neck kind of ghosts.
No, they were just lost souls.
Likeable characters.
He wrote the characters very well. The characters were all believable, likable,
right,
hateable.
Yeah.
For the ones you know, obviously.
Yeah, the obvious bad guys.
Bad people. It was a well-written story, and it flowed. It flowed from the beginning to the end. There wasn't real dead spots.
No. His writing is absolutely well-crafted. That's what I noticed right away. Like, he sets things up where he's supposed to. He knows his writing chops.
He's a good turn of phrase.
Yeah.
The Jersey-esque of it was pretty much dead on.
Yeah, I guess that's what we were looking for more than anything, is the geographical setting being Jersey.
And even,
and
like,
he pegged it.
The attitude of the characters were very Jersey fresh.
Yeah.
The dialogue was Jersey, not like GTL.
No.
Jersey Shore,
no,
Jersey.
No, it wasn't over the top.
But people who actually live in New Jersey.
He doesn't write the characters' dialogue with the, you know, like how they sometimes very phonetically write the dialogue. But just the way people from Jersey would talk, and shore people, indigenous shore people, shall I say. Not
the Shoebies.
Yeah, not the Shoebies, the visitors, the tourists. Yeah, and it also had that very political, even the politics of local Jersey, down the shore, real estate development, all that. Yeah, it was really very true to that.
It held true Jersey.
And geographically speaking, it was also tight, because the story itself takes place in a town called Harbor Haven, which does not exist. That's fictional. But every other town he mentions in the book
is
absolute real. And he mentions at one point that Harbor Haven is right next to Point Pleasant. Point Pleasant is like as popular a shore town as Seaside Heights, which everybody's aware of from the Jersey Shore show.
Right.
So you absolutely get a feel of where it is, and that we know that area in our heads. It's very true. Victorian houses along the Jersey Shore.
Especially there, because that would have to be just south of Point Pleasant.
Yeah. So it is very true to the geography, which was a nice touch, knowing the area. And it's to be expected, because he is from New Jersey.
Yeah. And
so he should know that stuff.
The book is a little witty, like a little ha-ha funny.
Yeah. It's
from in places.
Light.
It's light. Yeah.
You know what? It's a perfect beach read.
Yeah. You could probably knock that out. And,
you know, it's a nice lighthearted sit on the beach. Nothing, weighty.
Yeah. Let the brain go type stuff.
Now, you say he's witty. And the interesting thing about that, as we mentioned at the top of the review, is he also writes as Jeff Cohen. He writes mysteries the same as Jeff Cohen. It's not like he switches up under a different pen name. It's sort of odd.
That is sort of odd. Maybe we could get him on. He could explain it to us.
That would be nice. Maybe if we pursue this series further, we can... he does have two books as part of this series. This is the Haunted Guesthouse series. This was book one in it. And he has a standalone novella coming out based around the PI ghost.
Right.
That's coming out ebook only. And he also has a now fourth book in the series coming out, I believe, between December and February. I believe the novella comes out December and book four of the series comes out in February, if I'm not mistaken.
And he also has that other mystery stuff that he writes under.
He does. This is his only series under E.J. Copperman. And there's three books in it out right now. But under Jeff Cohen, he has two further mystery series. And he also has... what seems like he must have a child with autism or Asperger's disease because he has a couple of books out to help parents deal with growing up, raising a kid, living life, you know, with a special needs child. So he does all that under Jeff Cohen. And it's hard to delineate why he changed up names just for this series in particular. Might be nice to try and get him on.
Might be. I would love to know why people do pen names and...
Yeah, that would be totally...
Know, keep their stuff separate from the other. Because it wasn't like he was trying to hide it.
No, he doesn't.
Because his name's right on the copyright page.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
and
not
you could, yeah.
copyrighted to Copperman. It's copyrighted to Cohen.
Right. And when you go on the web pages, it's not too much of a mystery either. E.J. Copperman, I don't believe, links back to Jeff Cohen. But Jeff Cohen totally links to E.J. Copperman. He's not trying to hide it. I would definitely go and read book two of this series.
I would read book two, not right now.
Yeah.
But I'll probably get into it. And I'd also like to check out the other ones written by under his Jeff Cohen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, it's funny going into this, you or I didn't realize he was Jeff Cohen. We just knew E.G. Copperman and through our research for the podcast, found Jeff Cohen. And as it would happen, I've had on my Nook for at least a year, probably more, a Jeff Cohen book.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Right?
It was like a 99 cent book I picked up, and I picked it up because it was like it was Jersey based also. You know, I forgot 99 cents and I bought it, and just because it's a mystery, obviously I keep putting it off. So when I saw that Jeff Cohen thing, like I think I recognized it. I went back. I'm like, holy crap. I already got one of these guys'
books.
Does
it have a Lend Me feature?
It absolutely does, and you absolutely can have it. It's called As the Minivan Rolls, and that's book one of his other series. So, yeah, we'll definitely check that too. And maybe come end of the year, beginning of next year, when we get into his other books, you know, that come out in this series, maybe we'll try to get him on.
Yeah.
Pick his brain about the E.J. Copperman, Jeff Cohen duality.
Yeah, I'd love to ask him about that.
I'll tell you what. With this book, the way it ends, it's cut and dry ending. It doesn't leave a cliffhanger to set up a book two or anything like that. You can just be done there. But what it is the characters are so well written that they lend themselves to further stories.
It wraps it all up nice and tidy, but says, hey, we're so cool. My characters are so cool. I want to keep writing about them.
Yeah.
So we'll take it from there.
Yeah.
So you could have read that book and stopped, or you could have read the book and kept going. He gave you the option.
Yeah, absolutely did. And that appeals to me because I don't like series necessarily.
Right, because then you feel like, oh, man, I'm invested.
Yeah, now I'm invested. But this is not like, I feel like I'm reading another story. I know the characters, but I don't have to, you know, understand everything that happened that was cut and dry.
Right.
So that's nice. And I will definitely read on to book two. And all right, I guess we'll wrap up our little book review to say Night of Living Deed. Pick it up. Read it. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You could probably get it on the bookshelves.
He seems to like to push publishing into actual print.
Yeah, he's an old school kind of guy. He does like paper books. He expressed a little disappointment in having to release an ebook only novella.
Right.
So he seems like an old school guy, and I'm sure you'll be able to find his books on a shelf somewhere. It's $7.99, ebook or paperback, no matter how you slice it, $7.99. That's what you're going to pay. You can find more about E.J. Copperman at, surprisingly enough, ejcopperman.com.
Or at jeffcohenbooks.com.
Jeffcohenbooks.com is probably a better bet because you can find everything he does, blogs and everything. So jeffcohenbooks.com.
All right, Mr. Cohen, we enjoyed your book.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
All right, so that does up our book section.
Awesome.
And now we're going to jump into our beer section, a completely salvaged playback of our original recording, our original tastings. We tasted two beers, but what we want to do first is introduce you all to our newest, our first sponsor. This is now the official beer opener of the Books, Beer, and Bullshit podcast. Every beer we open up on this podcast,
every time you hear it,
it's going to be this product, the Bottle Wrench.
The Bottle Wrench is amazing.
It is the only bottle opener you're ever going to need for the rest of your life.
It is manly. It is tough. It'll open anything. Don't let your wife use this thing.
No, this is a manly fucking tool.
She'll grow testicles and you'll have to become gay.
Or you can marry somebody else without testicles.
Option is yours.
Yes, it is the Bottle Wrench at thebottlewrench.com.
Yes.
The Bottle Wrench is a modified
wrench.
A modified 5/8 crescent wrench. American made. American manufactured.
By Americans. For Americans.
That's right. Now, what we love about this thing is it's fucking metal all the way. Right?
Yeah. Solid steel.
How many fucking bottle opener, pussy-ass plastic promotional shitty-ass bottle openers that we busted through on this podcast already?
Three or four?
Oh, easily. They're all crap. I want this to open every fucking shitty beer we taste from here on out.
Because the beer we drink, you know you need something tough to
open. Oh, you gotta.
It ain't spreading its legs for you.
Uh-uh. You gotta fucking get at it.
You gotta work.
That's right. I want all our listeners to go to thebottlewrench.com, buy a bottle wrench, all very reasonably priced. You're gonna buy one for your husband, for yourself, for Christmas, for a birthday.
Hanukkah.
Labor Day is just around the corner. Get one real quick. Here's what you're going to do. When you order it up, there's going to be a promotional code you're going to put in. For this show, the Bottle Wrench has reached out and is offering for listeners of Books, Beer, and Bullshit only.
Only Books, Beer, and Bullshit listeners.
15% off your order on a $10 bottle wrench.
Dude, that's
$1.50 off.
$1.50 off, man.
Pow! $8.50 for
Dude,
a bottle
if
wrench?
If you buy two of them, $3 off. Pow!
That's right. We're going to show you. We're going to put this through the test, not just tonight.
Every episode.
We are going to test the bottle wrench. You're going to hear how freaking sturdy this thing is. And it's still going to pop
the top
off your beer every time.
Every single stinking time. Put this sucker on your toolbox.
That's
put it on
right.
your pegboard. Put it on a little S-hook.
That's
Shit,
right.
Put it on a clip and wear it around with pride.
That's right. This is the most manly bottle opener you're ever going to need.
You'd be like, why do you have this giant wrench hanging on your pocket?
Ain't a wrench.
Well, it is.
Could be. If it had to be.
You got a 5/8-inch nut that you need tightened?
I'll untighten it for you. I'll tighten it. I'll loosen it.
I'll break it in half.
And after we break a sweat on the nut, crack open a fucking beer.
Right.
So don't forget, thebottlewrench.com, promotional code BBBS, show, all one word.
What is that again? One more time for the slow people like myself?
BBBS, show.
BBBS, show.
That's it.
Say it again.
BBBS, show.
All right. It's now ingrained
in your head. Do it.
In my ubellum amigatum.
You got that right. So you're gonna hear now, we're gonna play back our original beer tastings, and you're gonna hear us talking a lot about the bottle wrench, putting it through its paces. Without further ado, here is tasting number one and two. It's a double tasting for you folks.
All right, now we're up on the beer.
Beer time.
This episode we will be doing Brasserie Diet du Sel Rosé Hibiscus beer.
Are you having a stroke?
No, I have Tourette's. Choking. I'm choking my chicken.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would correct you, but there's no way I'm going to do any better. This is fucking strange.
Well, you know what time it is.
It must be time to scream Frosh!
Bismol avec ta bite de Remy.
Once again, are you having a stroke?
Yes. Yes, the French bring out my best.
Votre etemier est dans mon pot de miel.
Bismol avec ta bite de ebele.
Again, I am back.
Where is my white flag?
Where is my white flag?
I want to surrender.
Where is my monkey? I wish to surrender.
Well, actually, this is a French-Canadian beer.
We are back in Montreal. I have a great idea. I'm going to take some beer, and I'm going to piss some flowers in it.
Yes, they're going to put hibiscus in it, so it's supposed to turn it red and make it smell like flowers. This is a wheat beer. It's an ale brewed with spices and hibiscus flowers. It's 5% alcohol by volume, and it's bottle conditioned. It's imported by Shelton Brothers.
Yeah, this was difficult for us to really look up information because their website was lacking.
Yeah, it was very, very lacking. It's more of a menu for their brew pub. Rosé de Hibiscus is a soft-spoken Belgian-style wheat beer.
Wait, the beer was born in 2006?
Yes, this beer is 6 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, I don't know if that's a born-on date or the recipe copyright date.
Let's hope it's one of them.
Well, I just bought this like 2 weeks ago, so right after our last episode.
This is very hard to gauge. It looks like they printed out the label on their home computer. It's French-Canadian beer with tropical flowers.
Dude,
and it's Belgian style.
The chick looks like, you know what she
geisha.
Looks like? She
it's
looks like an elf. I don't remember how much this costs. I'm sure it was like $4 or $5 for this little 12-ounce.
It's bottle. French craft beer.
I guess there's no time like the
no
present.
No time like the present.
It's time to crack it.
If only, Jeff. If only there were a tool. A manly tool
it's
that we
pants.
Could use. You know what?
Manly.
A manly tool.
A wrench?
A wrench to open a bottle.
How would we come about that?
With the bottle wrench. That's
the bottle wrench.
Right. In your hand, you now hold the official beer bottle opener of Books, Beer, and Bullshit podcast.
It's like the fucking holy fucking grail.
It is.
Of bottle openers.
It is the most manliest bottle opener you or I will ever have to use.
Drop forged stainless steel
crescent wrench.
Let's use it. Let's put it to the
All
test.
All right. Let's use the For the first time, the official beer bottle opener of the Books, Beer, Bullshit podcast.
Oh, man, that thing just ripped the freaking top right off it.
Yeah, it did, man. It just fucking flew off, man. The bottle wrench is a way to open your beer like a fucking man.
Like a man.
Ew. To the beer.
It does have...
I can see as you're pouring it...
It's very slight.
It's slight. It's not a distinct rosy color. It's got a tick foamy, creamy looking head.
It is a tick head.
It's very fragrant.
It does smell
like beer air freshener.
It has a citrusy smell, or is it just me? Does it smell more like a grapefruit?
To me, it smells like florally.
Yes, it smells like a bouquet.
Floral beer.
Should be like an FTD beer.
This is a very tick frothy creamy head for a wheat beer, I think.
I don't know. Let's get in this before we lose our heads.
All right. Let's get into it.
Here's to you.
Here's to you.
Oh, no. That's not good.
Oh, man. The aftertaste is like...
It's like vomit. Oh, boy.
It kind of is like vomit.
It's like vomit.
The what?
The Harry Potter jelly beans. They
right.
have, like, grass.
Oh.
Is that what a hibiscus flower tastes like?
I've never had one.
You know what? Oh, God. Man, I cannot get this fucking flavor out of my mouth. The smell is not that bad.
No, the smell is appealing.
I was almost going, this just might not taste too bad. It tastes bad right away.
And then it tastes worse.
Yeah, it goes through a lot of fucking shit on your aftertaste.
Yeah, it's like bittery sour.
It's the stamen.
It's a stamen.
Bunch of fucking stamens.
We should take a trip to Montreal with our beer wrench.
Stamens, yeah.
And start like knocking people out. Dude, why do people do this? Why can't people just make a nice,
What's
crisp
wrong with beer?
Beer.
I think that's the other problem.
Why do we have to put everything into it?
That Belgian wheat beer flavor does not pair well with this hibiscus flower.
No.
They might have been a little more successful with a different brew.
I just don't say this? Dude, I don't think French Canadians take beer seriously.
I have yet to see proof of it.
Well, all I can say is, Frank,
I want to forget this beer.
I do too, but we drink it.
So you don't
off to.
Now, in honor of the beer wrench, we wanted to see how well it would work on bottles and cans.
That's right. Let's see what we got next.
Let's go into the Triple B refrigerator and see what else we got going on.
I'm sure there's a can in there somewhere.
Surly Hell Lager.
Welcome to hell, motherfucker.
It's a German-style thing.
Yeah.
Not unlike a Zwickel. It's got like American hops and...
You got two Zwickels for a dime.
That takes a back seat to the pills, malt, sweetness, and fresh bread aroma. Oh, it's beer and bread in the can. The color is, well, hell, which is Deutsch for light. It's fiendishly drinkable. And it's surlybrewing.com.
It is Surly Brewing. This beer
Surly.
Comes to us from lands afar. One of our listeners was on a trip to Minnesota recently.
Don't you know?
Don't you know? And brought us back a can of locally brewed Surly Hell. It says, beer for a glass from a can. We're trying this because the beer wrench
has to have the trials.
Bottle wrench. We're going to keep saying it. We got to say it right.
It's the bottle wrench?
It is the bottle wrench.
How do we keep fucking that up?
I don't know. It just sounds right. It sounds good. Well, it's the bottle wrench. We're going to make it the can wrench because right. It's versatile. It's got to open up everything. So let's give it a whirl.
The bottle wench. It shall be opening every beer you hear us crack.
It's going to be opening beer. It's going to be opening skulls. It's going to be maybe opening up in a vagina or two. It opens up cans.
And if you need like a 5/8-inch bolt loosened.
Yep.
You still got the closed end, so.
You can do it still.
You still got the box end, so you can still
right.
do that.
And it's got that handy piece of power cord around it.
Yeah.
So you can hang it up on a nail. Fucking open it up. Cheers a beer. Busting fucking Canadian skulls open.
French Canadian skulls.
French Canadian skulls.
Dude, you could probably pop this down the bottom and shotgun this mofo.
Fuck yeah.
Oh,
can.
Yeah. That hits right on there.
Rip that fucker right open.
Dude, that would just pop right through. Pow. And you got yourself a nice little hole to shotgun.
Shotgun in it down the side and fucking drive a Bam. Goddamn nail into a fucking Canadian's head.
Oh.
I love the bottle wrench.
The manliest bottle opener you'll ever
I
own.
Told you it was manly.
It is manly.
I didn't even read that card hanging off the side of it. It's
Are you ready? Are you ready for some surly hell?
Ready to drink some surly hell. It was ripped open with a bottle wrench.
Looks a little...
It looks like beer.
It looks like beer. It looks like beer.
Give me some surly hell in a beer bottle, motherfucker. Beer in a can. Surly, you can't be serious. I am serious. Stop calling me surly.
Yes. Tastes like beer.
Does it?
Yeah.
Tastes like water. Tastes like a Coors Light.
Actually, I'd say... Not that I'm a beer snob.
Yeah.
I say this lends more towards a Miller Lite. Surly hell. Tastes like Miller Lite. Now,
so you
the person
have...
who turned us on to this and brought us back said that this was like the only beer like they ever
yeah,
really
they're
liked.
Not beer drinkers, but this beer, I like this beer.
Well, try some Miller Lite.
And stop drinking beer in a can.
Unless it's in your can.
Drink beer in the can?
In the can.
But not from a can.
Right, in the can. Beer in the can.
Beer in the can. I'll tell you this. For beer in a can, it's not bad.
No, it's perfectly fine.
It could taste like bottled beer.
Right, but I have no problem with this beer. It's just nothing special.
Nothing special. It's
I don't have a problem with
it's
it.
It's just beer. If your man, like there's some chicks listening, if your man's a little pussy, go out, buy him the bottle wrench, he'll be a fucking man.
Yeah, and then you could be his bottle wench. Dude, I want to go, like, rip my car apart with this thing. Just, like, just start. Like,
just fucking open it up. I can't tuna.
Yeah. Dude, I want to, like, have me some Campbell's condensed tomato soup.
That's American made right there, man. So
we fucking wrecked shit. It was awesome. This was the best, funnest beer section going.
It was.
Peace.
So there you have it. That's the shit we had to put up with this beer tasting.
I'm still having little cringy nightmares.
Yeah, that hibiscus beer was... It could definitely be a second runner-up to the chelada.
Oh, man. I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, it was not good.
It was...
That was not good oil.
Something awful.
Alrighty.
Anyway, we drank all that shit.
So you don't have to.
It's bullshit time, folks.
It's howdy bullshit time. It's howdy bullshit time. I'm a... Little turd hanging on some strings.
Yeah, it's that time again. Once again, Our crappy, less than reasonable audio engineering skills left us rendered with half-assed bullshitting.
But so we'll bring the other half of the ass in now.
We were able to salvage some of our bullshitting. The most important thing is we opened up our phone lines.
And actually got a call.
And actually got a caller. And I would hate to have lost that. So I salvaged what I could of our actual first phone-in caller.
Nice.
And we also got into some stuff we're going to start off with. There is news afoot in the Draven Star camp.
Oh, the saga continues.
Oh, it certainly does. So here we go.
Let's hear it. Let's evolve.
Let's give you what we gave you a week ago.
Oh, that was an awesome beer segment, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. What a way to bring in our new sponsors, the Bottle Wrench.
The Bottle Wrench, man.
Fucking A. Hey, you want to check out some porn?
Sure.
Oh, what do we have here? Guess who's back?
Who would that be? Would that be the official porn star of Books, Beer, and Bullshit?
Yeah. Draven Star is back in porn.
Really?
Back. She is back.
Came out of retirement.
She took up the call. She's like, I gotta go back in, Mick.
Cut me, Mick.
Cut me.
15 rounds of Cloverline.
You ain't bad. You ain't bad.
You ain't not nothing.
Yeah, so this whole story sort of rolled out weird. Let's call it a week ago, probably a little more than that. Draven tweeted something about having a new photo set up on Burning Angels. And I took pause. I'm like, that's where she used to have, like, porn stuff going on.
Yeah, her.
I was like, is she back in it? And I clicked over there real quick, and I didn't see nothing that looked new or anything. I'm like, oh, just her usual, you know, crap that's just been there from the... Before, the other day, Mr. Leonard Kinsey put up on the Dark Side of Disney Facebook page the following, and I quote,
after receiving some questions in private messages and emails, and realizing how my silence could be misconstrued as tacit approval, I've decided to publicly announce that Pentakis and I have parted ways with Draven Star. Her career has recently gone back down a path that we can simply not support or be involved with on a personal or professional level. To be clear, no future Disney-related photos or videos featuring Draven are produced in conjunction with Bamboo Forest Publishing and are absolutely not endorsed by us. However, we do wish her the best in life and will always look back fondly on the great times we shared together.
Leonard Kinsey. Obviously, right there, when I read that, there was no doubt that she'd gone back into porn, and I checked out the modeling page that we first discovered she was also doing porn on.
Right.
And that little bit about her no longer doing penetration
right. Is
removed.
Out the window.
It's not there. It's been slightly updated, and like you said, her Burning Angel page is slightly updated, and I did find the actual photo set after going back that she's, she's up on Burning Angels sucking dick and getting fucked, and she's just, she's all in again, man.
All in, huh?
All in. So there will be no more Draven Star and Leonard Kinsey inspired Disney rebellious shit going down no more.
Not for her, at least.
No.
She's out.
She is out, and she seems somewhat, less intriguing to me.
Yeah, now that she's back in it.
Yeah, it's like, all right.
Is this the last time we're going to be visiting this topic?
I don't know. We'll have to see how she plays out. She seems so much more interesting as an ex-porn star making her way as, like, a, you know, cover model in an anarchist Disney sort of way, you know?
Her interests and stuff on the Burning Angels mentions nothing about, like, Disney or being a Diz nerd or anything else.
I know, but that photo set that they put up, the new one,
yeah,
does sort of play to that, where it says sort of, like, the fairest princess or some shit like that. Yeah, it kind of very subtly plays to that. Not directly, though.
So, yeah, back in the life.
Yeah, she's right back in there. I guess, she does what she does. I'm not shitting on that. So, yeah, we may have just lost our official porn star because she's back in porn.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What can you do?
You know what? We got to count on Kinsey now to come up with a new slut.
Yeah.
Let's hope he doesn't, like, drop that angle altogether.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Now we have to buy the new book just to see the new Cinderella
the
slut.
The new slut. He's going to have, like, Bond girls. They're going to be, like, Kinsey girls.
The Kinsey girls.
The fucking Kinsey girls.
I think I'm just waiting for the next big thing now.
I heard she already found the next big thing. It was in her ass.
I just found a new best thing. I was wondering if she has like a no lesbian like that. Well, I don't know if she had a girlfriend back when she was doing lesbian porn back in the day.
Back in the day, the like first she time went,
yeah. She's back now, right on dick.
Yeah.
But she hasn't gone lesbian. It may be like because she has a lesbian girlfriend, like that might be a no-no.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe the girlfriend was like, you could do whatever you want as long as you ain't with another chick.
Yeah, it's just like a really warm dildo.
Preheated.
You'll be licking none of that gash, miss. The gash licking you shall save for me. Maybe she's dating a pirate.
Arr! I'm Winchy the pirate. No, he's the only dickish for you. You scurvy cunt.
Only thing you're getting this hard is my peg leg.
Oh,
lives in the vagina under the sea.
Draven store crotch.
Draven Starbucks.
Lesbian old nonsense is something you wish.
Draven Starbucks. Then jump in me crotch and look at my fish.
Are you ready, viewers?
If you have a brown cock and you're ready to nut.
Get behind me and put it in my butt.
Oh, it's too goddamn much.
Yeah, so that's where we left you off with on the whole Draven Starfish Draven Star saga. But as it turns out,
it doesn't end there.
No, it doesn't. As fortune had bestowed us in this, it must have been ye gods of the pirates telling us to wait to release this podcast because there's been more. There is now an official press release, as it were.
Oh, yeah.
From Draven Star. It does not end. Kinsey does not get the last word. Are you ready, sir?
Are you ready, kids?
On the doomdoll.com. The question was posed, what happened between you and Leonard / Pentakis? Now, Pentakis, I'm not sure if it's Leonard Kinsey's wife or just agent or something, but she's all in the mix of that whole thing.
Right.
So, yeah, what happened between you, Leonard, and Pentakis? Everything seemed fine. So here is Draven's response. Quote.
See, I thought so too. Since Leonard has stated that he doesn't approve of anything I am currently doing in my career, in parentheses, in his blog post about our parting of ways professionally and personally, let me be clear in saying that I have never needed his approval for anything outside of my wardrobe and hair makeup for the covers of his books. When I shot the cover of DSOD, Dark Side of Disney, I had just decided to take a hiatus from the porno industry. I was feeling a little burnt out, and my fans deserve nothing but 100%. The notoriety that came from being a porn star seemed to be appealing due to the nature of the book. It was brought up in multiple reviews and helped with the controversy surrounding its contents. During our friendship, Leonard had asked me to be his new monorail girl, which would mean masturbating on the monorail in Walt Disney World. I said no. I wasn't ready to make new porn at that time, aside from it conflicting with my personal opinions regarding sex in the parks. It was still brought up, and is brought up in one of the videos on DSOD's YouTube channel, see Debauchery at Disney, in which the description states, Draven Star visits the Magic Kingdom. I harass her about being the new monorail girl, and then she gets groped by Snow White, puts booze in a Dole Whip, and loads up the topping at the toppings bar at Pecos Bill.
All parentheses. My God, she's winning me. I further quote Draven Star.
When I made the decision to end my hiatus from porno and leave a corporate job that was negatively impacting my personal life, outside of family issues preventing me from working a proper schedule, which I left on very good terms, Leonard decided to end his personal and professional relationship with me via a text message conversation between the two of us, which, while I do have, I will refrain from posting due to its sensitive content. Pentakis followed suit. Though my girlfriend had made a personal appeal for her to at least hear my side of what was going on. Considering I have a tattoo with her and saw her as my sister, this broke my heart. Leonard nor Pentakis have agreed to meet with or talk about this with me. Neither have listened to my side of what was, is happening in my personal life that led to these decisions. This deeply saddened me as I saw them as close friends, and it seems as if I may have been mistaken. Oh, it also forces me to draw my own conclusions, and in this situation, in its entirety, has led me to form the opinion that if Leonard cannot profit off my doing porn, being new monorail girl versus continuing my career in the adult industry, he wants nothing to do with me. Given our lack of communication, it seems as if I will never know the answer for sure. My silence could also have been misconstrued as tacit approval, but in all honesty, I didn't want to have to say anything. This is the only time I will answer this. This is a situation that still hurts my heart, and I refuse to go deeper into it. The only reason I am saying anything publicly is because of all the emails and questions I keep receiving.
Oh boy, it just goes on and on. Yeah, that's now Draven's side, and it sort of doesn't put, you know, it's not just like I jump back into porn and Leonard doesn't want to deal with that. Right. It seems now that
flame war coming on.
I don't know. I now read the situation as, you know, she's saying that she only took a hiatus from porn. But when we first met Draven.
Well, not that we ever.
But when we first introduced ourselves to her, like many have through the dark side of Disney, it seemed like she was getting out of it. She wanted to go, quote unquote, legit, maybe.
Yeah, legit modeling.
Yeah, her modeling page said, I no longer do penetration. Like, it seemed like, not like I'm taking a break from getting dicked in the butt while I pose on the cover of Disney books.
You want my opinion?
Go, man, sure. Go.
Of course you
We're
want my
opinion. We're talking about Draven. Let's go.
She don't like the 9-to-5 grind.
Clearly.
It's easier to take it in the butt for half an hour than to, you know, get up and go to work every day.
Oh, it's probably a week's worth of pay in an hour than an hour worth of pay in a month. Hey, look, the girl is 23, 24 years old. She's done porn. She's got the kicking body. She's tattooed up. She's a wild child. It's hard at her age with her reputation to step away from that.
Yeah.
Now, I guess the question remains, though, based on this, is whether there was an understanding prior to her going back into porn, whether it would mean an end to the Kinsey.
You know what I think? Yeah. I think there was no understanding. Like, when they jumped on her bandwagon, she wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
And probably didn't think she was going to do it again.
Right.
And, I mean, what's done is done. She's in the posters. She's in the book covers.
Yep. I tend to agree with you. I don't think there was an understanding that if she went back down that road, it would mean the end. And I think that's where this conflict is now arising, where, you know, he said, she said. I just find it a little bit weird that Kinsey would write her off. He's not writing straight-laced, happy Disney books.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about having sex in the park. Who's at fault? I don't know. I don't get the impression there was an understanding to begin with that if she went back, all would go sour. I will say this, whether we continue to talk about Draven or not, as much fun as we do have talking about her,
will depend on how the story
this
goes.
This story, I think there's still story left here, and Draven will still pop up because I think there's a lot of story left here.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
The story's going to split. Draven's got her story to tell, and we're going to have to see where Kinsey goes with his end. We did have open our phone lines once again for the second time. The first time we did it was a bust a few episodes ago, and this time we opened them back up, and we actually got a caller. Oh, what is that sound?
Hello, caller.
Hello, Frank.
Oh, it's a caller.
Yay.
Do you have big shaggy boots?
Probably.
Yeah, I can imagine. You must have looked like terrorists.
That's stupid.
I don't think so.
Pedophile?
That could be.
I think you should totally do that next episode. Pedophile authors.
No, we're doing it this time.
we're already balls deep in that one.
God.
Draven Starr is a kid toucher.
Well, what's wrong with having a porn mascot?
Well, what if we get rid of her, but then have like a Draven Starr costume and have some kid come out and like run and jump trampolines?
This is sounding a little bit silly.
Some giant inflatable penises.
get the crowd pumped up, you know?
So you're making your own porn now.
Yeah, no, why not?
With a costume instead of a person.
Not,
yes, blow up porn. It's going like, to be a new, whole new fetish.
It's not like they let a fucking mouse run around Disney World. They have a mouse costume. So we can't just let a porn star run around our podcast.
Very confusing to children.
You know what babysitters don't cancel? Pedophile babysitters.
No, they're always there.
What?
They're always
sure
ready
they
to go.
They don't cancel.
No, they're always up for the job. They're very eager.
Absolutely. Of course, I wouldn't leave my child alone with them.
Are you familiar with the beer wrench?
I am not.
Good, neither am I. I only know the bottle wrench. Are you familiar with the bottle wrench?
The bottle wrench? I do not. I'm not familiar with anything.
Well, see that? We already turned one person on to the bottle wrench who did not know about it before.
That's right.
Are you going to tell me what it is?
Well, you have a husband, right?
I do.
Do you find him manly?
Sometimes.
Well, at the times that you don't feel like he's being manly, you're going to want to buy him a bottle wrench from thebottlewrench.com. The bottle wrench is the official beer bottle opener of the Books, Beer, and Bullshit podcast.
Sounds fantastic.
It's unbelievably fantastic. And if you have a husband, you should absolutely buy him one.
How many people called in to hear about this wonderful new product?
Including you?
Yes.
One.
Yes.
You are our
fantastic.
You are our official first call in out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So don't I get a free shitty beer or something?
Sure. Next time we see you.
Tons of shitty beer.
We got tons of it. We'll get you a nice rosé hibiscus beer.
It sounds delicious.
Oh, you have
no idea how delicious it is.
Oh, my. I have to tell you that when I was at my cousin's house, she made me a Bloody Mary. And do you know what she used to make it?
Clamato.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How was that?
I was thinking of you guys.
How did you enjoy it?
Damn it. I'm like, they drink beer with the shit in it?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm glad to be the first caller. Someone had to do it.
Yes.
Yes. You are like, what do you call that? The grease in the wheels with the panhandling shit?
Yeah, you're like the couple pennies in the quarter and the crumpled up dollar bill. Well, I have a bottle wrench. I have no need.
No.
I just fucking look at the beer fucking funny and you show it the bottle wrench.
Yeah.
And the cap just flips
There's
off.
There's no goes, easier way to open a bottle than it goes, a fucking
it goes,
bottle
man,
wrench.
Don't wrench me, bro.
Don't wrench me.
Even a child can do it?
Oh, please. Yeah.
You're opening up your Stewart's root beer or your creamsicle, your Boylan's black cherry.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Pop. Right off. Pop. Pow.
I can open up drywall.
You can. You can open up a zipper, stuck zipper. Open that up. The snaps on your onesie get stuck, man. Pow.
Pow. Right off of there.
Bottle wrench does it all.
Lots of uses.
It is a multi-tool.
It's truly multidimensional. Yeah. You could open up cans with it, too.
Okay, so all that
right.
was
all right,
the
all right.
salvaged clip from our first caller,
ever.
Who, I guess, in the interest of full disclosure, we are completely familiar with.
And also, that is so chopped from what we saved.
Yeah, that really is a chopped up version of the actual conversation.
The conversation was actually kind of funny before
yeah.
it got all chopped to hell.
That was, we are familiar with that caller. That is our friend Lauren.
Yes.
So if it sounds like we knew what was going on, it's because we did. She is a longtime friend of ours, and she was gracious enough to be the first caller to our podcast. Thank you very much, Lauren. We apologize to you that we had to chop up your conversation. All right. So as the locust flies, we are going to sign off for you this evening. We're going to hope that three times is a charm.
Third time.
Because I don't want to do this one more time.
No, I am sick of these topics.
Right. So let's recap in hopes that this is it. We talked about Night of the Living Deed by E.J. Copperman.
Yes, at ejcopperman.com.
ejcopperman.com.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, local bookstore. Check it out.
Check it out. $7.99 any way you slice it.
Also on jeffcohenbooks.com.
Jeff Cohen Books. C-O-H-E-N.
Cohen.
And then we tasted a rosé hibiscus beer.
And some Miller Lite clone.
Yeah, sultry hell. That beer tasting, we tasted two beers, but it was really all about the bottle wrench.
The bottle wrench.
The most manliest way you can open up beer in your entire fucking life.
At bottlewrench.com.
That's right. promotional code BBBS show.
15% off. Go buy a couple.
Show love. You really do. You need to go there and just
buy the whole set, man.
If you love this podcast, whether you drink a beer or not, we've demonstrated you don't need to drink beer to own a bottle wrench.
Hell no, you can open up your Coca-Cola with it.
You can open up your heart with one. So go there and get a bottle wrench for yourself, no matter what your drinking needs are. 15% off and just show love for the podcast.
We hoard the fuck out of it.
We love the bottle wrench. And then we got into just when you thought we couldn't tap Draven Star anymore, found a new way to tap her.
She was tapped again.
She's been tapped three ways to Wednesday because the saga continues.
Back in, popping back in porn.
She's back in porn and, you know, though we may find her uninteresting now because she's back in porn, I have a feeling that the story is not over.
You could check her out at doomdoll.com.
TheDoomDoll.com. And we also talked with our first caller, Lauren. We thank her so much for participating. And hopefully she is the crumpled up dollar and folded change that loosens the coins of the next time we open up our phone lines.
And I guess that's
about it. Like, you want to talk to us? You know where to get us. Booksbeerbullshit.podbean.com. We're on Stitcher. Now,
Survey says.
We do have to say this much about the iTunes thing. We have to give a quick tutorial. We are not listed on iTunes. You can still subscribe to us. I figured it out for those who haven't already. I am not an iTunes, nor is Jeff, any kind of expert. You're going to go to podcasts. And you're going to go up on the top bar. You're going to click on Advanced.
Advanced.
You will see subscribe to do a podcast. You'll click on that. In the little box that pops up, you're going to type in booksbeerbullshit.podbean.com/feed. You put in that URL, hit enter, and you will get every podcast we put up from here on out and thus before. That's the way you do it on iTunes.
That's what a feed does.
That's right. And if you're digging on us, check us out on Facebook.
As always, like us on Facebook. Like us on the bitch face.
We do have a Twitter account, @BooksBeerBS. What we do have to do for you is let you know. We already know we're going to be reviewing and drinking next episode.
Cripple Wolf.
Cripple Wolf by Jeff Burke is the owner of Deadite Press, the company they put out the Brian Keene book and Genital Grinder.
Yeah.
Some early favorites of this podcast. We're going back to Portland with Jeff Burke.
And we're bringing the beer with us.
We're bringing the maple bacon beer. That's it, people.
Casa Lisna, I bid you adieu.
This ain't a song for the broken hearted.
I just found a new best thing.